December 7th, we received a word from the Lord by way of another person who gave them the word. They wrote it down, gave it to us when we were up here last. I took that, went back, prayed over it for January, February, March, argued with God in April, and finally in May said, okay, after I saw what he was saying. So she'll share with you because she looked up all the words too.
Okay. December 11th, 2011. This was given to us by one of our dear partners, fellow workers, fellow soldier in Christ Jesus. And those terms are going to be very significant when I get through this. This is the word. I'm going to just go read through what was given to us, and then I'm going to expound on that. You need allies. There is an army rising in the Northeast. Make your alignments and partners. Your words have weight. Your heart is for unity, and that's what drives you. You know the power of unity and what it means to me. There are those who are willing to stand with you. And that was the word. And we read it. And we didn't take it lightly, but it didn't hit us like it's hitting us now. And allies, I think of the word when Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:23, if anyone inquires about Titus, he's my fellow partner. He's my partner and fellow worker concerning you. That word fellow worker is synergenos. Synergy. Synergy is when the group comes together. They're more powerful when they're apart. Two together is more better than two apart. Well, that's what the Allies were in World War II. They came together. Instead of all fighting the enemy on their own, they came together, they fought, they won. Same thing here. You need allies. And what he's doing in this word, he's saying, it's time to come together with some unity. There is an army arising in the Northeast. Philippians 2:25. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. Fellow soldiers. We're in the army of the Lord. I don't know if that kind of went out with the Salvation Army, but that was their vision. We're an army. And that army is a collection, a body of men armed for war, organized in companies. You know, when Jesus passed out the bread, he said, put them in groups of 50. Put some order to it. Have an army that comes together. Make your alignments. How good and how pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell in unity? Make alignments. Come together in a state of agreement and cooperation. The word partners, which is the next, make your alignments and partners, is koinos, which comes from koinonia. And if you were around in the charismatic movement, you know what koinonia means. Fellowship. Have fellowship one to another. Come together. You know the power of unity. The unity of the Spirit is that oneness which subsists between Christ and his saints. That oneness that we have. That we've been baptized into one body. We so often don't see the body of Christ globally. That you are part of the body of Christ. That when one member hurts, we all hurt. We just don't really get that sometimes. We think, they have their own problems and I got mine. I don't need to be thinking about what they're dealing with. I got to deal with what I'm dealing with. Well, it doesn't really work that way. when I hit my hand with a hammer, it hurts all over my whole body. And see, we hurt all over when one member hurts. We just don't feel it in our flesh, but we feel it in our spirit. We feel that weakness in our spirit that comes when that one is hurting. Allies, army, alignment, partners, unity, power. There are those who are willing to stand with you. And that word stand, they don't hesitate, they don't waver. They stand with you. That's what that means. They don't get blown over by every little wind of stuff that comes along. They'll stand with you to the end. They've made their alignments. They've come into the unity of the Spirit, and they're ready to fight. That's what's going to take in the end. You know, I think sometimes, you know, this could be just me thinking, but God is preparing us for a time when we need to call on each other. When I first saw the internet, this is the first thing that came to my mind. We're going to need this someday to contact each other when there is no other way to find each other. Because it's, you know, in the end times. Whether we in our exact generation are going to face all things that are coming, I don't know. But I can hear God saying, get ready. There's one word that keeps coming up over and over and over and over. Awake. Wake up, church. Wake to righteousness. Wake up and find out who you are. The church has been sleeping. Let me go through these. I appeal to you. This one's Philemon 1:10. The other one was Philippians. I appeal to you for my brother Onesimus, who I've begotten while in chains. And then it goes down to verse 17. If you count me as a partner, receive him. See the referral there? If you believe I'm your partner, then receive him, because he's my partner. See the unity there? See him as you would see me. And he himself, this is Ephesians 4:11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, until we all come to the unity of faith, make alignments, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. We cannot come into the fullness of Christ if we're disjointed, if we're not going to see each other truly as brothers and sisters after the Spirit. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand. See, he was seeing how important it was that they stand together, that they stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And then there's two more scriptures here about standing, which I thought were interesting. In Romans 11:20, he says, you stand by faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24, for by faith you stand. You are not going to be able to stand together without faith. It takes faith to overcome what we see with our eyes. We don't always want to be with everybody. I don't like what they say. I don't like what they believe. I don't like how they pray. I want to be with the people I always agree with. But the whole body has to come together. I think John's going to go into this more, but I just want to read the scripture too. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. Why don't we stand together? Because we succumb to the wiles of the devil. He says, you don't want to stand with them. You don't like how he preaches. You don't like what they're doing. You don't like how that's going on. When we went to our first home group, God said, be in this home group. And I remember the ride home, and he was saying, if I wanted to talk about football, I could have went to the track and got a whole lot better talk about football than I got there. Because that's all they did. We felt like, what is going on here? You know, this is what we up for. A bunch of people just sitting around talking about stuff that people at the bars are talking about. But we went, and we went back. And they blessed us so much. It was amazing. And we became their home group leader eventually. And all the people that we had that home group became home group leaders. But they blessed us. And just like Paul said, I long to come to you in Rome, that I could impart some spiritual gift to you, and I would be encouraged by your faith. That's what we did in that home group. We came and we imparted some spiritual gift to them, and they encouraged us with their faith. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. That's what covenant relationship is. I've done everything to stand. If you're married and you've had some issues, you do everything to stand if you're still married. That's covenant relationship. When we got married, there was no way out. That's how we went in. That's why we're still married. Because that was our attitude. There's no way out of this. So you're either going to have to work it out, or maybe we won't talk for a little bit, but we're going to have to work it out someday. There's no place else to go. Now I want you to turn to Romans. I'm going to give you some insight how to start walking in what I just said. Romans 8:9. Powerful, powerful, powerful scripture. I'm going to say it. It's one of my favorites. I say that about every scripture, but they're all my favorites. It's like children, you know. Can't love one more than the other one. But at the moment, they kind of just seem like this is their moment. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh. Did you ever think you were in the flesh? And that maybe you had to get in the spirit? Let's praise until we all get in the spirit. Because I know you all walked in, you know, you had the day on you and you're all sad. So let's praise until we all get in the spirit. No, you're in the spirit by faith right now. You're in the spirit. If, look at what this says. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Oh, did that just like pop your eyes open there? I mean, we all said earlier, yes, Jesus is in me, right? Didn't you ask them that? Yes. And they all said yes, right?
I'm not telling.
Okay. Well, if you did say yes, you're already in the Spirit. Now, here's the secret. This is the secret to the church coming in unity. I see you after the Spirit. I see you complete in Christ. I see you whole right now. I see you after the Spirit. I don't see what you're doing. Doesn't matter to me what you're doing. I see you after the Spirit. Now, can you imagine a whole church that says, I see you after the Spirit. I see the completed work of Christ in you. I see everything in you that he did, everything he died for. You know what that does? It puts us together because now my faith is for everybody in here. I'm using my faith for you. When I say I see you after the Spirit, and you're seeing him after the Spirit, and you're using your faith for him. And he's using his faith for her, seeing her after the Spirit. And I may not have even talked to you. I don't even know what your name is, but I see you after the Spirit. And I'm using my faith for every single person here that they are complete in him. You know that scripture? You are complete in him. I see you after the Spirit. I see you complete in him. Romans 14:4. Now, we're all seeing each other after the Spirit. We're all seeing each other complete in Christ. Now we have the pastor. We have the teacher. We have the apostle. And how are we seeing them? Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Now, if we take our people that are in leadership, any type of leadership, it might be the praise and worship people, it might be anybody that has any influence on you whatsoever, who are you to judge them? They stand to God. Now, if you put your faith on that scripture, and all the people here are saying, God's able to make him stand even if I think he's doing something wrong. Even if I think it's a mistake to buy that new building or buy that land. I don't think we're ready to build a new building. Well, who cares? Who are you to judge? It's my job to put my faith on God to say, God, you said you could make him stand. And that's where I'm putting my faith right now. There's a scripture in, I think it's in Psalms. It says, he upholds him with his righteous right hand. Though he stumble, he does not fall on his face because you uphold him with your righteous right hand. And when I was meditating on that scripture, I had toddlers. You know, when you're holding their hand and they trip, but they don't ever fall on their face because you're holding their hand. That's the faith that we have for each other. I have faith for you, Don, that God's holding your hand. It doesn't matter how many times you stumble. You're not going to fall on your face where you can't get up because you won't even fall down. He's holding your hand. That's using your faith. That's the joints. That's the sinews. That's putting the body together and not having it in pieces all over the place. You know, we just have our own little group. Have you ever gone to some little group? Sometimes they're a little strange. That's because they don't relate to the rest of the body. You get too far off there all by yourself. It gets a little odd. Because it's not supposed to be that way. Now, another thing that Paul does, and I don't think we quite get this. I know I didn't get it when we were first saved. Maybe we were saved 4 or 5 years. And something really, really, really bad happened at our church. And I believed in God. It didn't rock my faith. Didn't upset me in a personal way that I was shaken. But I didn't understand how much my pastor and his wife needed my prayers right then. I just went about my business. Because we sometimes think, you know, they got it all together. They're on some other level than we're on. Well, they're not. They have just the same kind of issues everybody else has, and they need the same amount of prayer, or if not more, than everybody else has. And I have to say, it was very hard for me to face when I grew up and I realized how much my pastor and his wife needed me. And I wasn't there for them. I didn't pray for them. Sometimes your children don't know how much you need them till they grow up. And then they say, Mom, I'm here for you now. I'll take care of it. That's growing up. So a lot of times Paul would say, pray for me. Pray that I speak the word clearly. Pray for me that doors of utterance open for me. And then he would say, every time I pray, I mention your name because I have you in my heart. That's a covenant relationship. He's asking them. I think when Paul asked Titus or Timothy to pray, his fellow workers, they prayed. They prayed for him. They held him up. They knew how important it was when Paul said, I need you to pray for me. Because, see, we sometimes think, Paul, you don't need any prayers. I'm the one that's got all the problems. I need pastor to come pray for me. And that's sometimes why we have all the problems, because we're all looking this way. When I was first saved, the only days I was happy was when I was trying to help somebody else. That got me out of my depression, helping somebody else, looking at what they needed. It was so much fun to help them. So now I'm going to share how powerful prayer can be and how much you can change the world. Once you get your eyes off of here, because we're doing great, because we all love each other, we're using our faith for each other, we're doing good. Now, yeah, I'm going to read that letter. No?
Hold on.
I'm going to tell this story.
Hold on. And the reason that I'm telling her to hold up on that for a second is God has instructed us to do exactly what he had said in that word. And God's raising up an army. Well, why would God need an army? Not to fight with each other. Why would God need an army? Can anybody tell me why God would need an army? Well, here's the reason. He needs an army that comes from the body of Christ that says, we're going to stand and we're going to see that the victory that Jesus won in his death, burial, and resurrection is going to happen here on this earth. He needs an army to implement the victory, to enforce the victory, to make the enemy knuckle under, but more than that, to break down strongholds of the mind, which should only be done by weapons that are not carnal. You cannot debate somebody into the kingdom of God. You can't be logical enough. The gospel isn't logical. It's faith. Faith doesn't make logic. Amen? You can't reason with your family members who are unsaved. You can't even give them 10 good reasons why. You follow? The weapons that we've been given are not carnal. They're mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. Now, the first weapon is prayer. People that want to join with where God is taking us, be partners, be in fellowship, but more than that, fellow soldiers, okay? Number one, you must believe. Believe down to the bottom of your socks that prayer works. See, the body of Christ, I got like 10 angry areas. And this is an area that I'm angry about. Because the body of Christ really doesn't believe that prayer works. Because if they believed that prayer works, there'd be a prayer meeting that pastor would call. This place would be full. Now tell me if that's not true. If you believed that prayer, just prayer, not your best effort, not your best talk, not your best persuasion, not your best however you can figure out to get something changed or saved. Prayer to God gets the job done. This place would be full. I've had too many people over the last 35 years come to me and I ask them the question, did you pray about it? Well, I was gonna. Well, after you pray about it, then we'll talk. Okay, Pastor, I prayed about it. What'd God tell you? Nothing. I said, well, then you didn't pray about it. You pray till you get an answer. Paul said, we don't serve a dumb God. That's one who doesn't talk. You don't understand? All the other gods don't talk. Muslims don't hear from Allah. He doesn't talk to them. You mean God talks to you? You better believe it. I got a talking God. I wouldn't have it any other way. I want to hear him. He don't need to hear me. He knows what I'm going to say before I say it. And a lot of times I don't want to hear me. Amen? Now, we have here a testimony. Prayer only. Okay? Prayer only. I want you to get this. Prayer only.
I'm going to tell three stories. I was in church service. It's a Catholic mass. This is how strong God is. I don't think that priest was saved. And he got up and he said, I have this inner healing prayer and I want you to pray it after me. I prayed it after him. And I was healed from resentment just like that. Now, in a two-week period, that was the first thing that happened. Second thing that happened was the Lord showed me like a laundry list that week. And he said, Jesus is number 8 on your list. I went, that's not right. I'm going to make him Lord. Changed my whole life right there. 3 days after that, baptized in the Holy Spirit. 2 days after that, prayed for my son, instantly healed. It's all in a two-week period. Then I went to a Bible study. I walked in. Nobody brought me. Just decided to go to this Bible study all by myself. Walked in and the lady goes, you're the person I've been praying for 2 weeks. Never saw her before. She never saw me before. But she saw me in the spirit. That changed my life. One lady praying for me that didn't know me. Another thing that happens, this is just a little short one, but it's just to show you how powerful it is. Do you ever been in church and you heard something and you just kind of felt confused about it afterwards? Hopefully not tonight. But I heard God allows things to happen. He doesn't do it to you. He allows it. And I just really got confused about that because I had little children then. And I was thinking, you know, if my little boys were playing and a snake came in the room, I would not allow that snake to bite them. I would do everything I could to make sure they were okay. Everything. And I was just really getting confused. And I just couldn't understand the character of God at that moment. And John was driving to work, and the Lord said to him, you need to bind a spirit of confusion on Priscilla. He did it. I was set free right then. I could just see perfectly clear. I knew exactly what was going on from that point on. See, that little demon of confusion was trying to mix up my mind about the character of God. And if that had happened and I had accepted that and that got deep-rooted, I would never be able to receive the promises of God because I wouldn't know who he was. I wouldn't know his character. Now, this happened, this little story, 1 month ago. And we'd been praying for people in our area. And I knew some of their names. And I had some that I didn't know their names. So I put numbers down on my paper, just numbers. And the Lord kept telling me, pray for number 58. So I prayed for number 58, seemed like more than the other people. So one Sunday, and this is just 1 month ago, I'm ready to start the service. I always try to start right on time. Can't say I always do, but I always try to start right on time. And for some reason, I thought, I need to go to the other side of the building and get some. So that meant I had to go outside, and I'm in the parking lot, and this lady just drives in. She goes, what kind of church is this? And I said, well, baptized in the Holy Spirit, preaching the word. She goes, I'm coming. Pulls her car in, gets in the building, and so I start praise and worship now because she's in there. And she writes a little note to the person in front of her and says, I was looking for the Holy Spirit and I found him. And she hands it to the person in front of her. And so she said, I can't stay, you know, when we greeted the visitor. She said, I can't stay more than an hour. So at 11 o'clock, she got up to leave. And John says, can I pray for you before you go? She said, yeah. So she sits down with her daughter. We pray for them, and they go on their way. It was quite miraculous. And her little welcome card, and it says, how did you find out about the meeting? She goes, I just drove up. I just drove in. What kind of church is this? And she came to the meeting. Now, 6 days later, I get this email from her mother. Part of her prayer request was her strained relationship with her mother. I'm living with my mother, and I need to move out. I need to be on my own. Well, she's a grown woman. She had her daughter with her. She's like 35 years old, so it's, you know, it's a good thing that she's saying I should not be living with my mother. I get an email from her mother. Listen to this. My message is one of thanks, Sunday, April 22nd. Your group welcomed my daughter and granddaughter into your tabernacle of worship and praise to our God in Jesus Christ. The blessing through your faith and prayers worked a mighty miracle in our family. And then she tells a little, but I'm going to skip down. I'm writing this because each time I think of Jennifer's experience with your ministry, I give thanks for you. This is a very personal letter for you to share with all the people who prayed for us. Jennifer spoke of this visit only once, but my story is more involved. The change has started with me. It has lasted now 6 days. When I could see my unforgiveness, I was brought to my knees, and I repented mightily for forgiveness. But I was the one forgiven. It is through the prayers of the saints of God and God's power working in our life. I only have this strong passion to tell you how much your prayers and your faith have helped us. And then she goes in asking God to bless us and take care of us. And then she says, thank you, John and Priscilla, for working with God to help me and my family. You know, we never thought we would get a letter from her mother, who went and found our website and posted this on the website email.
Her mother is a Mormon. And the daughter's telling us how the mother's a Mormon. She doesn't think that God's everywhere. She thinks that God is just in a building. So when that email came that Saturday, how many of you know the power of God moved? This is a lady that didn't think God could ever show up in her house. You had to go find him in a building. Amen? The reason I share that is because the number one thing we're looking for is people that believe that God hears us and he answers. And that prayer, I want to tell you something. It's not just, you know, unfortunately, the partnership in ministries has been abused, taken advantage of, been a scheme to get money. Surely that goes on. Paul himself said there's people who preach the gospel. In the word, it says, out of selfish ambition. But what we're looking for is people who hear God and say, I want to up for that with them. To be part of the army. God has given us spiritual weapons. Together, we learn how to use those spiritual weapons. And we learn how to defeat, to exercise Jesus' victory through those spiritual weapons, not with a lot of flesh effort. We are not going to defeat abortion in the flesh. It's a spiritual problem. Because the enemy's behind it. What Priscilla shared about seeing people after the Spirit, I got news for you. You have a church developed that way, a group of people developed that way that see each other after the Spirit. You're complete. You have a lot less sin to deal with. I assure you, because what we've been doing hasn't been working. Sin is just raging in churches. You would think that everyone's heard this, the definition of insanity. I mean, that's gotten around the world. Everybody uses it now. That's the person who keeps doing the same thing over and over and expects a different result. So you think at some point we would actually pray and say, God, what is it we're doing that isn't working? What's the deal? Give us wisdom. James chapter 1, you fall into a trial. Ask wisdom from God. You think that churches... I've visited enough churches over the years to know there's a lot of them in trouble. I don't want them in trouble. I am angry. It ought not to be. Jesus is Lord. So you would think along the line somewhere, somebody would say, God, give me the wisdom. And you know, the word says he'll give it to you liberally and without reproach. But let not that person be double-minded. Let me tell you why they don't receive from the Lord in that double-mindedness. It's a specific double-mindedness that it's talking about. We have a habit of taking the word of God and making it too general. This applies to everything. No. You're double-minded when you tell the Lord, give me the wisdom, and you haven't made up your mind already, you're going to do what he shows you, do what he tells you to do, period. And you're not going to judge his wisdom. He won't give you the wisdom to judge it. Lord, I've got an impossible situation. I don't know what to do about it. Give me your wisdom. Oh, and by the way, after you give it to me, I'm going to check it out to see if I want to do it or not. If you were God, would you give that up? Well, he can't according to his word, because he's not going to put pearls before swine and dogs. What are you talking about? Swine represent demons, dogs represent unbelief. Are you grown up to hear this, what I'm telling you here? Are you? Shake your head up and down and say, yeah, I get it. And so they stay in the trial. And then the stupid wisdom of man comes along and goes, God's trying to teach you something. That's why he puts you in that wheelchair. Well, see, the stupid wisdom don't come until you reject the wisdom from above. Well, how did I reject it? I wanted to judge it. I wanted to see if I was going to do it. I was going to see if it was convenient. Are you hearing me? Well, the people that want to up and be in covenant relationship and be an army and be together, and together we win. Divided, we get our nosebleed or worse. But those that want to know in their heart that prayer works. And they know in their heart whatever wisdom from God comes to defeat that problem, that enemy, whatever it is, the strategy that he gives us. See, we're not liberty to take those spiritual weapons and use them helter-skelter. God's too smart for that. He wants to give us the spiritual strategy to use the weapon to beat up the enemy. Do you understand the difference? Shake your head up and down. That means the second thing is, first you believe prayer works, and the second thing is that each and every person that wants to partner up, they know the most important thing in their life is their relationship with God. Not books, not tapes, not teachings, not even the church fellowship. The most important thing is your fellowship with Him. I'll tell you why. There is no power without it. Because that's where you get the power. Do you think Jesus fellowshipped with the Father? This is how much He fellowshipped with Him. I don't say anything He doesn't tell me to say, and I don't do anything I don't see Him do. This was Jesus. Amen? These two, the prayer and believing, and each one as we're joined together, that's what brings the unity, because we all have that fellowship relationship with Him. Amen? Not finding somebody who's going to do it for you. Now, there may be an occasion where God gives wisdom, and I have the opportunity to pass that wisdom on to those who are partnering, saying, this is the direction we're going to pray in. This is what. But you may get something you want to pass on. There's no corner to market on this. Amen? I got news for you. These two are way more powerful than the money. Way more. We're lied to again by the devil. We think that, if we had the money, we'd win the world. I got news for you. That is not, money is not a spiritual weapon. It is a flesh problem. Well, how do you know that? How many billions have they thrown at cancer? Is it healed? Well, look at our government. Just throw more money at it. Take care of the problem. Education's going down. It's a spiritual problem. The schools are not going to turn around till we get it together. A church building never saved anybody. Bless their hearts, Calvary Assembly, the church we grew up on with Priscilla was sharing, that's where we were at. We grew up in that church. Love them people. They built a $24 million building. And it's not anywhere near where it was when we had that little old 2,000-seat auditorium. Because some thought the building was going to build the kingdom of God. The building, the devil, he'll let you build all the buildings you want to build. He'll let you feed all the poor as much as you want to. He'll let you do all the good works you want to do and never bother you once. But he's scared of a group of people who know the power of the Word of God, who know the power of the Holy Spirit, who know what those weapons are that are not carnal. Carnal weapons never. You know people who go to AA or alcoholics? That's a carnal weapon. They may not drink, but they're never free. Why? They're told you're an alcoholic every day. That's not freedom. They're tempted every day. That's as much torment as being drunk. You're not free until you're not tempted. Amen. This is something we do together. We'll just let all the other ones be the superstars. I'm not interested in superstardom. I'm interested in doing what the Lord says to do. Let's do it together. There's an army in the Northeast, not just Quakertown. In June, I'm coming again, and I'll be down in Philadelphia. Can you see something here? And I will tell you this. You up and understand that my life, I'm committing my life to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ over anything else in it. Why else are you here? Heaven is glorious. I got a mansion there. Huh? Paul said it'd be way better for me to take off, baby. The only reason I'd hang around here is because of you. What are we grubbing for? There ain't anything here worth taking. God won't let us take it. You heard the story. The guy begged God to bring one thing to heaven with him from earth. One thing. So he packs up. God finally says, we can bring one thing to heaven. He packs up a bunch of gold. He shows up in heaven. They walk over to him, the residents. They go, you brought pavement? So what are you making a big decision to say, my life here, my purpose is to see the gospel change life, change the world, set people free, and that's when I'm happy for that reason. I'm here for that reason. That's why I exist. And God says, a soldier, and it's in the Word of God, when he's a soldier and he's sent to battle, all his needs are met. He doesn't have to meet his own. Huh? This is how you get to prosperity. See, prosperity is you have all your needs met, you have more than enough, and you haven't worried yourself sick over it. Amen. Where's the next deal coming from? Where's the next customer coming from? Let me get here and start to figure out and pray and this and that and talk to everybody I know how to get more customers. That's the world. See, the world says this. And I'm not really closing, I'll just stop. The world says, in order to have more, you have to sell something. It's based on buying and selling. So it's a one-on-one exchange. There is no multiplication. If I sell this product, I get this much. Walmart was ingenious in using the world system. Because what they said is, we're going to get so large and we're going to sell so many of a thing, we only need to make a buck off it and we'll be a millionaire. A billionaire. Because we're going to sell a million of them. And we've got 1,000 different things that we sell, a million of them. We make a buck off of each of them. So they've used the world system to perfection. Except it's still a one-on-one chain. But we're not of the world. We're the kingdom of God. We get to sow seed and get 100-fold return. If you've sold out for the furtherance of the gospel. Mark 10:29-30. Those who give up everything for my sake and the gospel's sake shall have 100-fold return in this life. There's no 100-fold return if you're sowing the seed so that you need it. It's for me. The 100-fold's there. You just won't have the faith to reap it. We want a group. We want churches. And I'm not looking for a lot of numbers. I'm looking for the quality soldier who says, I'm up and I'm in for the long haul. Let me clarify on our marriage, by the way. We were both unsaved at the time. And it wasn't like there's no way out. Oh, my God, it's horrible. I was, like, really happy. But we had determined that we were all in. And there was no such thing as divorce in our life. We were all in even then. You stand and you work it out. You stay there until you get it right. You're in covenant. And just because I might make an error or she might make an error, it's not that I get to go out and make an error because she did. You understand? I continue in the covenant anyway. God does. Have you ever made an error? I have. Is he still with me? Yeah. I will never leave you or forsake you, no matter how bad you blow it. Amen. So we're stopping for this evening. You've had enough. But I'm going to ask you to do this. Pray. Because this is the third thing. In order for us to come together in this and see the army come together, and trust me, I'm not making myself general. You can talk to Pastor Barry. Some of you are here, but others that you have a pastor somewhere else. Take a minute one day and ask him how it is when the buck stops with them. It's not such a big thrill, if you know what I mean. For those that think, I want to be the big kahuna, it's not all that what it's cracked up to be. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this evening. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of your word. And I thank you, Lord, for what you put in our hearts. But more than that, that you've opened our minds and hearts to see the potential, to see what could happen, to see how you can change my life to where I enter into the fullness of the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for each one here tonight, and I know that everyone that was here tonight, you ordained to be here. There isn't one person missing, and there's not one person that wasn't supposed to be here. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, by your grace, what you are doing. And I see the army. I see the army, Lord. I see that army that will come eyeball to eyeball with the power of darkness, will come eyeball to eyeball with the accuser, will come eyeball and eyeball with the liar and win. And I thank you for the grace that you've imparted to every single person tonight to fight the good fight of faith. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Father, you had Jesus pray for Peter's faith. And I thank you that Jesus prays for our faith, that it would produce, that it would overcome, that it would be strong. And we receive it done tonight in the name of Jesus. Everyone who wants a piece of this off the buffet table of God, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Tomorrow night, 7, pray. Tomorrow night, we're going to ask you. people that want to up, and we'll get into a little bit more of what we believe that God is doing. Amen? Now, if you give me a little indulgence, I know that it's a little later than about 20 minutes later than I wanted to be. However, I don't want to dismiss if anybody needs prayer.